So turn with me in your Bibles back to John chapter 16, and we'll read these remarkable words of promise from our Lord that he was going to seal with his blood within possibly an hour of this, as it began in the Garden of Gethsemane. He says in John 16:23, "In that day you shall ask me nothing. Verily, verily, I say unto you, whatsoever ye shall ask the Father in my name, he will give it you. Hitherto have you asked nothing in my name. Ask and you shall receive, that your joy may be full. These things have I spoken to you in Proverbs, but the time cometh when I shall no more speak unto you in Proverbs, but I shall show you plainly of the Father. At that day you shall ask in my name, and I say not unto you that I will pray the Father for you, for the Father himself loveth you, because you have loved me and have believed that I came out from God. I came forth from the Father and come into the world. Again, I leave the world and go to the Father." What an amazing prayer. What amazing words. On this night of all nights, as we look to our Saviour, one of the things that he was preeminently was a man of prayer. And he who did nothing for public show and did nothing to please men, but lived always to do his Father's will and to honour and glorify his Father, was seen publicly praying again and again and again and again. He spent whole nights in prayer at critical times of his life. And all of the moments of his life were critical for him. So he spent, and when we didn't hear him praying, he was probably praying quietly to his Father. The wonder of prayer is that it's an expression of communion and expression of relationship. It's an expression of trust. What an amazing Saviour we have. How amazing it is to think that his prayers on earth and his prayers in heaven right now for his people are the same. He ever lives now to intercede for his people. How are our prayers accepted before God? In him. How are we accepted before God? In him. We're most exposed for what we are as children of God or not, by what we are when we're praying. You think about that. I think it was Spurgeon who said, "A man on his knees is invincible." You know, what we are. And as soon as I mention prayer, and as soon as I want to express the fact that for any of us who have ever thought that we might have prayed, we know how weak and frail we are, and how extraordinarily distracted we are in our prayers, and how extraordinarily we are led to pray amiss, as the scriptures say. But the Lord, I want us to be encouraged in prayer, and I want us to come back and look at some questions a little bit later on about, you know, who are the asking people?
He defines the asking people in this text of scripture, and he also defines when they will ask, what they will ask, on the basis of what they ask, and he also clearly defines what they receive. As I said earlier, I want to be a receiver. I want to have prayers that are heard of God. The Lord is far from the wicked, but he heareth the prayer of the righteous. The only righteous person that's ever walked on this earth is the Lord Jesus Christ. And everyone who walked with him and everyone who walked in him is righteous as he is righteous. That's why the prayer of the righteous man availeth much, says James. The eyes of the Lord, 1 Peter 3:12, are over the righteous, and his ears are open unto their prayers, but the face of the Lord is against them that do evil. There is an asking amiss, according to the scriptures. There is an asking that you might get for yourself. There are prayers like the prayer of the Pharisee in Luke's gospel, and his prayer, he prayed thus with himself, says God Almighty. There are millions of prayers offered that never get beyond the thoughts of the man who offers them, or beyond the space in which they're offered. I want prayers to be effective. I want not just prayers to be effective. I want these promises to be fulfilled. And whether I want them to be fulfilled or not want them to be fulfilled, they are being fulfilled. That's the wonder of the gospel, isn't it? That God will do as he has promised in the hearts and in the lives of his people. We are resting on these amazing promises. So I just wanted to have a look at prayer first in general, but I wanted us to go to these verses in John chapter 14 so that we actually get ourselves gone, John chapter 14, 15 and 16, because these are the words. But I want us to hear again how incredibly significant it is that people ask aright. And asking aright, according to our passage of scripture, according to the Lord Jesus Christ, is asking in his name. Therefore, you can assume that if you don't ask in his name, you haven't prayed, and doesn't matter what it sounds like to you, and doesn't matter how many people applaud it, if you haven't prayed in his name, you haven't prayed. Don't you remember the testimony of the Lord Jesus Christ about Saul of Tarsus when he was in Damascus, blinded? Blinded, humbled. What does the Lord say to Ananias? Behold, he prayeth. Paul had been the witness to thousands of prayers, and he had prayed, no doubt, publicly and fervently and so much in line with Scripture that if we heard Saul the Pharisee's prayers, we'd be amazed at how fervent he was. And yet the Lord's testimony was, now he prays. May the Lord have that as our testimony. But listen to what he says in John 14, verse 13. We'll just go through these verses because I think it's just so extraordinarily significant. He says in John 14, verse 13, and whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. John 14:14. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. John 14:26. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name. And you might have remembered in Graham's reading of Luke 11, he'll give the Holy Spirit to those who ask. God's people are asking for the Holy Spirit to come. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. The Holy Spirit comes in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. John 15, verse 16. You have not chosen me, Part of his name is the fact that he is the elect one of God. It's the title that God the Father gives him,
Isaiah 42. You have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain. That's that joy that he's talking about. That's that witness of the Lord Jesus Christ that he talks about. And that whatsoever you shall ask the Father in my name, he may give it you. And in that day you shall ask nothing. Verily, verily, I say unto you, these are the verses we've just read earlier, whatsoever you shall ask the Father in my name, he will give it you. Hitherto you've asked nothing in my name. Ask, 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 and you shall receive, that your joy may be full. In that day, verse 26, in that day you shall ask in my name. Asked. And people will immediately say, well, I've asked and I haven't received. God is true. We ask amiss, that we might spend what we get on our own labours. We ask amiss not coming in his name. We ask amiss coming and bargaining with God, saying, if I do this, then you will be obligated to do that. We come on the basis of works. We don't come on the basis of grace. He says, you have not because you ask not. You ask and you receive not, James 4:3, because you ask amiss, that you may consume it upon your lusts. There is such an encouragement in the scriptures for us to be people of prayer, and I just wanted to go through some of these verses, that when we might come to look at John chapter 16 again, we might be encouraged to be people who are just pleading with God, just like the lady in Luke chapter 11, the man in Luke chapter 11. You just keep on asking, you just keep on asking. He says in Philippians 4:6, be careful for nothing. Don't let your heart be overcome by the troubles and cares of this world, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Isn't that lovely? And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and mind through Christ Jesus. He says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 17, pray without ceasing. One of my favourite stories and verses in all of the scriptures is that one in John chapter 4 with the woman at the well. And he said to her, if you knew the gift of God and who it is that saith unto you, give me to drink, you would have asked of him. If you know him and know his gifts, you'll be asking. May the Lord cause us to be prayerful people, and prayerful people with an expectant that God will answer our prayers. He says the receiving and the giving are as one in all of God's acts. Ask and you'll receive, that your joy may be full. May the Lord guide us into prayers and direct our prayers for his glory. Listen to what the Lord prayed as he began his high priestly prayer on our behalf. He says, Father, the hour is come, glorify thy Son. Why? That thy Son may also glorify thee. True prayer looks to the glory of God. As thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. He prays on the basis of election. God's absolute sovereignty, the fact that God has a people, and these are the people he's praying for. And this is life eternal, that they may know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. I have glorified thee on the earth, and I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. And now, O Father,
glorify thou me with mine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was.
The glory of God is the heart of his prayer again and again and again, isn't it?
The glory of God is the heart of his prayer when he's in distress, when his heart is troubled. Twice in John's Gospel, when his heart is troubled, he says, Father, glorify your name. He said, now is your name glorified.
Prayer and receiving. Prayer are enjoined together in the scriptures.
Prayer and promises from God are joined together. Prayer and joy are enjoined by our Lord.
Prayer and receiving and joy in receiving are enjoined in the name of the Lord.
Therefore, our joy, God's giving, God's glorifying his very being in Christ in this world are vitally linked to prayer, aren't they? The very act of true prayer is an acknowledgement of who he is. But this is his world. He has the right to do with us as he sees fit. And everything he does is good all the time. All the time. We are the sheep of his pasture. And the sheep just keep looking to the shepherd. The straying sheep keep needing the shepherd to bring them back into the fold.
Father, glorify thy name is his cry. And the answer from heaven, I've glorified it and I will glorify it again. He taught his disciples to pray. We read that in Luke chapter 11.
But prayer is the evidence, as I said earlier, of life from heaven. The prisoner set free. Paul didn't know he was a prisoner and captive to religion and captive to the lusts of his flesh and captive. He was riding high onto the way to Damascus, and he is the pattern of all the Lord brings to a place where he says to him, behold, he prayeth. Behold, he prayeth. Prayer and salvation are linked together in the scriptures.
All of God's people are praying people. All of God's people, listen to what it says in Acts chapter 2, when the blessed Holy Spirit was poured out on that day of Pentecost, it says that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Paul says in Romans 10 verse 12, he said, there is no difference between Jew and Greek. The same Lord is Lord over all and is rich unto all that call upon him. And for whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. And if you've called on him and been saved, you're calling now. And you'll be calling again, and you'll be calling again, and you'll be calling again.
I love looking back in the scriptures at the very beginning of things, and John wants us to go to the beginning of things, but in Genesis chapter 4, and I'll just tell you the story, but in Genesis chapter 4, when Eve had Cain, she said, now I've got the man from the Lord. Now I've got the man who's going to be the one who crushes the serpent's head. And how extraordinarily wrong she was. Her first son was a murderer. But at the end of chapter 4, Adam had another son and Eve had another son, and he's called Seth. And to him, and to Seth was also born a son, Genesis 4:26, and he called his name Enos. Then men began to call upon the name of the Lord. What's Seth's name mean? Substitute. What's Enos's name mean? Man, weak, frail, fickle, fallen. Who calls on the name of the Lord? The sons of the substitute. They call on the name of the Lord.
The Lord Jesus Christ is the Father. to all his own and the sons of the substitute call on the name of the Lord. Prayer looks to God in heaven as he is declared.
Prayer looks out and up and away from self. Prayer expresses a dependency and expresses a need. We're always needy. We never get beyond being needy mercy beggars.
Prayer acknowledges the distance between us and God. All prayer comes to God through the substitute, the mediator, the intercessor.
See, all true prayer has its origin in heaven. That's why it's so precious, isn't it?
It comes from the throne of grace and it calls the children of God back to the throne of grace.
Aren't you thrilled that there's a throne of grace in heaven? He says, you come boldly to the throne of grace. Why is it so special that it's the throne of grace? Because it's not a throne of works. God is not looking for our worthiness in answer to our prayer.
And prayer is emboldened by, and prayer looks to God's word of promise fulfilled.
God's word of promise fulfilled is an incentive to prayer.
Don't you love the story of Daniel? Daniel said,
when he realised that the 70 weeks were done, God's promised 70 weeks for the children of Israel to be in captivity to the Babylonians, when it was fulfilled, when those number of years was accomplished, then I set my face unto the Lord to seek by prayer and supplications with fasting and sackcloth and ashes. And I prayed unto the Lord my God and made my confession. And I just love the prayers of Daniel and Nehemiah and all of the prayers of the children of God. They never, ever place themselves above the sinners that they are and the sinners that they are surrounded by. When God has promised, we ought to be praying. Open your mouth wide that you may receive. Prayer and rejoicing is the promise of God in John chapter 16. But if you look back to Luke chapter 10 with me, you'll see that the Lord rejoiced. It's one of the very few times in all of the scriptures. The 70 returned, Luke chapter 10, verse 17, the 70 returned and with joy saying, Lord, even the devils are subject unto us through thy name. And he said, I beheld Satan falling as lightning falling from heaven. Behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Notwithstanding, in this rejoice not. Don't rejoice in all your power to do all of these things, these remarkable things, that the spirits are subjected unto you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. When were they written in heaven? Before the foundation of the world was when they were written in heaven. But listen to what he says. In that hour, Jesus rejoiced in spirit and said, I thank thee, O Father. True prayer is thankful prayer, isn't it? It's thankfulness. I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent and hast revealed them unto babes. Even so, Father, for so it seemed good in thy sight. All things are delivered to me of my Father, and no man knoweth the Father, knoweth who the Son is but the Father, and who the Father is but the Son, and he to whom the Son will reveal him. He rejoiced. Do you rejoice over that? Why rejoice over God being God? That's why in the very next chapter he says the Holy Spirit will be given to those who ask him. And he's the parable beforehand is you just keep on asking. You ask and you ask and you ask.
In closing, I just wanted to take us to one remarkable story that we look at often, but the more I look at it, the more I love it. And it's an amazing picture of that woman, that Canaanite woman, who was excluded from the Commonwealth of Israel and without hope and without God in the world, and she was drawn by the trial of her life into the arms of the Lord Jesus Christ. And when she came, her daughter was grievously vexed with the devil, and she cried unto him, saying in verse 22, "Have mercy on me, O Lord, thou Son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with the devil." But he answered her not a word, and his disciples came and besought him, saying, "Send her away, for she crieth after us." But he answered and said, "I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel." I didn't come for the Canaanites. And she said, she came. What did she do in the very presence of the holiness and sovereignty and the majesty of God Almighty? She came and worshipped him. And she prayed, "Lord, help me." What a great prayer. "Lord, help me. Lord, save me." We can't hear from God unless the Lord helps us. We can't preach unless the Lord helps us. We can't believe unless the Lord helps us. So Lord, and he answered and said, "It is not meet, it is not right to take the children's bread and cast it to dogs." You're just a dog. "I have the bread of heaven for the children." And she says, "Truth, Lord." Isn't that remarkable? What a remarkable prayer. "Lord, help me." "Truth, Lord." That's true. Everything you say is true. And then she says, "Yet the dogs eat the crumbs which fall from the master's table." Crumbs have been falling from the master's table into the hands of the Gentiles ever since this world began. Ruth is a great picture of it, isn't it? And so is Rahab the harlot. Crumbs keep falling. They've fallen all the way to this world now. Then Jesus answered and said unto her, "O woman, great is thy faith. Be it unto you even as thou wilt." What a word to hear from God. You come in prayer saying, "Lord, help me." Saying, "Truth, Lord," to God revealed as he really is according to the scriptures. And we'll have this amazing promise. Do you reckon she went home joyful? When she got home, she was joyful, wasn't she? What a journey she must have had home to her demon-possessed daughter. And the daughter was made whole from that very hour. May the Lord work so in our hearts.